Okay, last Mishnah of the first parak of Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Shimon Gamliel has to tell us the following. Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayim. The world survives. The world is supported and survives on three things. Al Hadin Val Ha'emes Val Ha'shalom. Din, judgment. Emes, truth. And Shalom. Shenema Emes U'mishpat Shalom Shoftu B'Shalom. The end. That's it. The two big issues that are dealt with and needs to be dealt with explaining on this Mishnah is this triumvirate, this threesome. How do they relate? What makes them so basic? There are a lot of important issues in the world. To make that these are the three the basics, there has to be something big after that to relate. Al-Adin, Al-Emes, Al-Hashalom. And the other issue is the comparison of this mission to the beginning of the parak. In the beginning of the parak, we had Shimon HaTzadik, Oyem Shoy Knesset, Lakhlil, Oye Oymer, Oshloy Shadvorm, Oyem Oymeid, and we had three different things. The Torah, Avodah, Vagmeh, Chasadah. It sounds similar. You could easily relate the three to the three. And so these are the two problems that we're dealing with. Let's see if we can come to some understanding of. As we spoke a lot on the Mishnah Shemna Tzadik or Terez Vayikmeis Lesodin, we explained that we're talking about something so basic as Hushashi, as the Dvorim Shor Emeid. So it's something that needs to understand. We spent quite a bit of time on understanding that Mishnah, understanding these Yesodos. This Mishnah is equally an extension, if you want, of that Mishnah relationship, and it would indeed require equally in-depth study of these concepts, how they relate to each other, how each one of them, what they mean, and how they relate back to the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this Mishnah justice, especially not this evening, when we have so little time left, but we will attempt, we will start, we will see how much we can understand. We'll start with the Mishnah internally before comparing it to the Mishnah beginning of the parak. Al-Hadin, Al-Ha'emes, Al-Hasholim. What kind of grouping is this? What's the relationship? What's going on here? These two in particular, Din, Emes, and Sholim, Din and Emes, that on first reading are confusing, because the most common statement said about din is a don din emes, right? The whole meaning of din, judgment, is as establishes the truth. So din and emes seem to be one omen. We're talking about the same omen. Din, emes, for sholei, get three amudim. Sholei is more clear that it stands aside. However, Din and Emes, what is their most immediate product? Din and Emes, when a person establishes that everything is in its proper place, everything is given Emes, it's given its real quality. That's the essence of Shalom. Shalom, peace, tranquility, harmony, is when each person is given his right due, and stands in his place, in his value, not less, not more, Emes. He has his given right to, he has judged fairly and properly, and has given his rights, say, in the world, then everything fits, everything has a place. There's nothing that is really instead to anything else. Any time things need to be instead is because somebody is stepping out of line. Sometimes, usually, both. At least one of them is stepping my line. The after din and the emes shows the results. So to make you know a new din out of something that we could hear very easily is all one. So before we have to understand the original groupings, the original three statements here, and what their individual value are, and how they relate. let's try to understand what's the two amudim that the Olim is kaim on them, the two of din and emes. First, to start with this. The relationship between the two, what is din and what is emes? We'll start with a simple mashal. Emes requires, for example, that in business, each person handles honestly. Honesty, truth, that a word is given, is a word kept. That when a person, kindness, that he thinks that he deserves something, it's because he really thinks that he deserves it, not because he thinks he can get away with it. Emes requires that this type of honesty in saying business. Din goes well beyond it. Many, maybe even most, of the dinim of the Torah deal in cases where both people honestly and full-heartedly feel that they're in the right. Machlus Paul Rechamol, I'll give an example. Machlus Paul Rechamol. Person, he made a barter arrangement. One person had a par and one person had a chamor, and they switched the chamor for the par. And then when they went to the chamor was there, the par wasn't there. When they went to pick up the par, found out that it had given birth. Now who does the vlad belong to? Depends on whether the vlad was born before the deal or after the deal. If it was born before the deal, it's not included in the deal. If it was born after the deal, and then it was still within the par at the time of the deal, you're kind of the par, you're kind of as is. Now neither of them were there. He didn't have any witnesses. Each one has grounds to say that they have rights to this blood. Many of the dinim that we have in the Torah, shutvim or shchein. This one has chayes, famous gemara, chardel, dver. One person is growing mustard in his fields. The other one has bees growing in his orchard. And now there's a problem, because the bees go eat the hive, and it ruins the honey. Who's growing it? So usually the rule is that the person who's causing the damage, he has to make sure they do it again. So the person who has the mustard is causing the damage. And then there's a reverse time, the person says, okay, how do I cause the damage? Because your bees come over to my garden and eat my mustard. So he says, I'll have a perfect agreement for you. If you'll stop eating my mustard seeds, I will stop damaging your honey. Ah, you can't. It's your problem. Yeah. So you move away. Each person has real times. Emes. There's no historian in emes. There may in emes be truth to both sides of this. This requires a totally different aspect to come into effect with din. Din is the capability of making judgment, making decisions. Not only who's the liar, not only in question of sheker, the emes. All psak, all halacha, we discuss this other times, doesn't only have to decide by the person who's mistaken and the person who's correct, but also has to come to a decision between ilu ve'ilu, the ilu ve'ilu, where both opinions are related to emes. When I only have to deal with emes, there's room for everybody. When I have to deal with din, with the halacha, I have to make a decision. But even though you have a point, but this person's point, which is also a point, outweighs in significance your point, and the decision is based on that. And the halacha now becomes this. Din stands aside from emes, and then it goes well beyond. It has a power, a requirement, a capability of making judgment that has to go not only between sheker and emes, but between emes and emes. To make a decision, din has to establish everything in its emes lamito, in its proper level of significance.
And then the question is, why doesn't the Mishnah listen to it? Doesn't say din, the emes, the shomer, in that order?
The question was not that. First of all, I've only gone one half. I'm trying to explain why each one stands on their own, even though at first reading they seem to totally overlap. So I'm showing where they don't overlap. So far I've only done the first half, showing how din doesn't overlap, it extends beyond the question of emes and shemet. It's another omud. So something that is important in the establishment of the world that goes beyond the question of emes and shemet.
Okay,
now we have to do the reverse to complete the picture, to show that emes has its aspect where it goes beyond din. Right? And then when we have those two together, we will have definitions of two separate subjects. Even though in the first reading, for example, we'll take the Rebbeinu Yoina on Al Shlosha Dvarim Rayim Kayim, Al HaDin, Sheyodo in Din Emes La'amita. So again, like we always say, the Lashon HaGemara is Don Din Emes. How about Rebbeinu Yoina Al Din Emes La'amita? That's it. What did he say? Where's the explanation here? It's Pella what the Rishonim in the word add and explain. That what the Din, significance of din is that if it be only question between emes and shekel, who's a liar? Well, don't did emes establish the truth? The emes lamito includes much beyond the question of the truth, but it also includes how do we decide even though they both have a problem. Obviously, there's no liars, no thieves. Everybody's honest and have a real point. How do we make a decision? Din has the capability and requirement to say, thing that goes emes la'amita, that establishes halacha l'maaseh, that makes a decision between emes and emes, and then we come to emes la'amita, a higher form of emes that din and only din can establish. In the realm of emes, both sides of emes are available to the king. In the realm of halacha, the realm of psak, especially in mishpat, so one becomes the din, the mishpat, and it's this way and not any other way. It becomes one way, this way. So this is the particular significance. The video just had one word. Sheyodo in din emes la'amita. That the highest form of emes la'amita, that only din has the capability to produce it. Emes itself is not sufficient for the world. The world can get into a lot of trouble because the world is a complex world. The world has very many different assets to it, which all have a role. And if the only question is, are you correct? Do you exist? Are you a mirage? Are you sheker? So many of the world's questions, so the world's issues, emes and sheker are not sufficient to deal with. Din can say that even though you have a point, even though in the right place you're right, but in the wrong place something else is overriding. Something else takes over. The determining significance in the halacha is not like you. Not because it's shekhar, but because the emes lamita over here is as follows. So this is the starting point that we have, that din before emes. That emes, where din is saying more than emes, din is going beyond and it stands as the first that the olam is kayam on, that gives in order for the world to have kiyum, the world has to have a capability of establishing one way. If everything that is possibly true, say if you want to apply it in a much more extensive way, this is the exact opposite of American thinking. Okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Anything that you think go relative truth and all the rest of the relative truth. If you think like that, so that's true for you. That's the extreme extension of that. The world can't exist like that. I don't really want to get into it now, but it's very easy to prove that according to that basis that the Nazis had a right to what they did. That usually was the end, which usually is the end of that discussion. It's very, that's something that no Jewish heart can accept. I'm okay, you're okay, so the Nazis are also okay, that's a problem. something. Din is the opposite of that. Din is that even if there is point to what you say, even if it's not only imagined, you think this way, But there is, in real terms, in MS terms, there is a point in what you say. That's not enough for the world to learn on. Everybody will be running in different directions. You can't have a community, you can't have a world kayim, where everybody going every which way. So we're going this way, we're going that way. You need din. You need that. Everything is given a determination. Everything is given. This is the way it's going. This is a kiyum that the world needs. Every melech, the mishpat, yamid, oretz, in order for a community to survive, one of the roles, the main roles of a melech, is that he's melech, the mishpat, yamid, oretz. He's the one who makes decisions, the one who makes determinations, and says, this is the way it's going to be. Then everybody can be unified, everybody can work together. Otherwise, everybody has slightly different ideas, going walking off in a different direction, and you end up with the shul that you go to and the shul that you don't go to. You end up with the community breaking down into slivers and slivers and slivers and slivers. It's impossible, there's no key in there. You need the unifying force that comes from the capability of decisions. Not only the decisions between Emes and Shekhar, but even the decisions between Emes and Emes, between Elevel, Divil, Kim, Chayim, Nathan, Kayachadim. This is the first half, understanding the significance of Kim Ha'olam of Din.
Can it be said that the Din Rabbi Yonah says Din Dain Emes Dain Emes
Din Emes Shidain Din Emes
Shidain Din Emes. Can it be said then that Din, no matter how emistic it is, and how dim it is relative to that moment, or Shadayan emes namiso, means that no matter what changes, that dim namiso means forever, that you could always see the emes of that dim. Is it dim relative to what's, to that particular?
Not relative, but it's made up of the particulars that the judgment was made on. And it's only
place for those people.
Every new dim is always, is the new case similar to the old one, or is it different? And even if it's different, is it sufficiently different to change the din, or is that even though it's different, it's still the same? Right? And that's where now a new judgment has to be. But at every stage, there has to be a judgment. Melech v'mishpat yamid oretz, that's the first amud of the world. The first amud of kiyum, we have to start off with din. The Moshem also started off as the world with din. Bikish. That you can't have just din either. So, shitiko midas racha. Just din is also not sufficient. We'll get there.
Is emes also that?
What?
Is emes also a relative concept?
Okay. I guess it's a relative. Din is not relative at all. But it's only significant to the thing that it was said on. It's not relative to it. It only applies to what I said it to. If I said in this case, and I said it on black, I didn't say it on white. It's not relative to black. It was only said on black. On white, now we have to down a new judgment. Right? Is white sufficiently different from black for this particular aspect, that the fact that it's black and white makes a difference, or maybe not. And this particular din, white and black, that difference is not sufficient to change the thing. So you have a new case, you have to have a new judgment. It's not relative, it's absolute. Then it's totally an absolute. It's absolute, each thing for what it is, exactly. Right? Those are the koyach adin. Outside of the realm of Torah, this is an impossibility. Because there is nothing that gives man the capability to have that clarity of decision, especially in moral issues or legal issues that are not gross issues. Anything that has any fineness to it, especially when it's between Emes and Emes, without Torah, man has no possibility of making that decision. Where is he going to make an absolute judgment based on? On what basis does he have the right to make that moral judgment of the way? You think this way, I think the other way. The koyach, the source, where there is capable. This capability of determination. How do you know? We know. How do you know? That's the path of Torah. Only Torah gives man the capability but don't do them as not either. Making real decisions, standing by them, make it absolute solid, no wishy-washy, nothing relative, absolute, 100%. It's this point. Even though the other person has a point. We don't have to be disturbed by the fact that there's truth to the other side of the issue. That's what we judged. You didn't say you're wrong, you're a shekel, you're a liar, you made a mistake in your logic. You say we made a judgment that the other part is overriding, and the determination is being made absolutely as this way and not that way. MS. MS. Where does MS go beyond this? Where does it need the Amut Ha'olam that is Oymed La'atzmah? This is a very delicate issue. I'll try to explain it in a few words. Maybe we'll give just this simple introduction that would give us the picture of this story. There are three avos that we have over Yitzchak and Yaakov. And there are three basic midos. Chesed, Din, and Emes. Avraham Avinu was the Omer HaChesed. Yitzchak Avinu was the Omer HaDin. Yaakov, Titein Emes, LeYaakov. Yaakov, that mito is also called Rachamim. Chesed, Din, Rachamim. Rachamim, we understand. Chesed, loving kindness, going beyond the requirement completely. You know, it's not something that he deserves. It's not something I owe him. I'm doing it totally outside of the realm. Din is the opposite. It is establishing everything according to what is proper and fitting. Rachamim is in the middle. Rachamim is relating to a real need. Chesed, for example, is this was precious. The chesed doesn't find its source in the need of the receiver. If there's no receiver, you can go looking for them. If you can't find one, you make one. You send them along. But you have to have one because you're doing chesed. Right? Rachamim has its source because there is a need. So it's proper for you to go beyond. It is in din to do chesed when there is a need. The combination of chesed and rachamim. So that part we'll understand. Perhaps it's related to MS. Our understanding before learning properly of MS is deep. We consider MS scientific fact. That's deep. Well, scientific fact may be deep, but what scientists think scientific fact is. Absolute determination, this is the way it is, and it can't be any other way. Right? If a person jumps off the roof, he will fall down. If his roof is high enough, he will break it in. Regardless how good a person or bad person he is. Totally unrelated. You jump off the roof, it's high enough, you will fall down. Great person, hard rocks, bad injuries. Rules of nature are deep. They are established, the story is, without any maneuvering. We understand MS. Absolute truth to be this type of din. But so what's it doing? To get MS, the act of being in the middle. I'll just say it very quickly. Kala Nova Chasuda, a person goes to a chasna and you mishabeach the kala for the chasna. A person goes to a person who did a business deal, he completed it, and after he's completed, he has to give an opinion. After he mishabeach his efforts, you have to mishabeach his what is this? You usually understand, you would think that you have a right to go outside of the realm of MS for the benefit of Chesed. This is MS. MS, real MS, doesn't mean what is the exact definitions according to Dean, but MS is what is right inclusive of all of the possible questions. What is really right, meaning what is really mechuvan to the Tzom Shemayim, that's MS. What is, to the degree that something is not exactly mechuvan to the Tzom Shemayim, then it is Sheker. MS and Sheker means how much something is really right. in real right terms, absolute din is not emes la'ita. There's ein rachamim b'din. When you're standing as a mishpat, and I don't have to rachamim. Din to the end. The world's greatest usher has a tefillah on the last pruta of the world's greatest ani, and he's right, you have to tell the ani, give it to the usher. He doesn't need it, and it destroys him. Sorry, doesn't want to punish him. In Mishpat, you have to be ma'imid hadvarim al hadin. Abel in rachamim, or in emes, truth requires, but we have to take care of this situation, it can't end there. We can't leave it that the usher goes away with the last kivshas harosh of the honor. We have to somehow straighten that out. It's not complete. We have to complete to bring out the emes of the situation. David HaMelech's way, instead of telling the usher, now he has to give the honor again, he's taken out of his own pocket. He had to be mechayev an honor, but he couldn't afford, so first he would mechayev him, and then he would pay him out of his pocket. That's one way. Maybe the other way. There was David HaMelech's two hands. On the one hand, he was Melech Mishpat Yam Oretz, Ein Rachamim B'Din. The Oni is wrong, the Osher is right. Din, Oni, give away your last proof, to give away your house, take the coat off your back. Okay. But Emes says, but you can't take the coat off on his back. Okay. That's Emes. Emes goes beyond. Emes takes into consideration that Chesed is not a total Chesedus, a three mufurus adin that you're not mechuyevim. In Torah we learn that Chesed is a requirement. Emes is mechaber din the Chesed and makes them both together Emes. Emes goes beyond din, that it takes into consideration, for example, in punishment. When there is room for punishment, din, in Bezdin Shel Mata, where you have to be din, there's no circumstantial cheshbonis that go into the fact that he comes from a broken home, right, and what his stepmother did to him, that doesn't help for a person who's a thief, or a person who did any type of a crime. Right? But in Emes, outside of the Mishpat, which is based on Mishpat, in Emes, a person has to know how to deal with that too. First, there has to be mishpat, if that's what's required, if you're dealing with mishpat. But emes requires that this, everything that is emes, that is really part of the formula, is brought in and drawn together. Emes goes beyond. Din, on itself, is churban. Din, only din, will be churban. The world started that way. The world started that way. Because of course, Boruchu Livroi Hasa Olam Meis Adin. Because the truth of the Tachlis is to have everything in its perfect place. Exactly how people do. However, the emes of the world is that only the Boruchu can do that. Since he wanted that this world should be based on man's actions. The emes of man is that he can't be Aimit b'midas hadin kula. The emes of man is that he can only be aimit in din b'shitut b'serachim. So therefore, the emes of the world is rachim. Din plus chesed. Without it, it's called. Maybe you have din, pure din, on its own. Right? That's the only omid that exists. Like it says in the Chodman of Torah, Yerushalayim. Once everybody checked what's coming to me, I'm right, you're wrong, and to the end, I'm right. So that is din. And din itself goes beyond emes. Emes goes beyond din. The two together is Shalom. Right. So right now, just because it's very late, we're going to leave it as this. When you have Din, and when you have Emes, each one individually doing that function, then it's possible to produce the tachlis in the soif of all soif, the end of Shemona Esrei, the end of Rikos Kohanim, the end of all ends. The Torah always ends with Shalom. Tachlis called Torah Kulu with Shalom. We'll have to discuss this more next week. Well, Shalom Ibn Yonah says, Shalom hu koilul kol tayish of Olam, vein tachlis the Torah, also the Shalom HaGisrael. The end of all ends. Wherever you're going to come to it, any end, the end, Shalom HaGisrael. Shalom is the end. That's the tachlis are called the place in the Seif, the Kol HaSeifim. The world starts with the continues with Emes, finishes with Shalom. We're finished now. Just with this, we have to go back and start discussing compared to the Mishnah. Just we have the starting of the concepts of understanding the individual value and necessity of the role of these three Avudim, the Olam is Kayamon, Avim, and Small Shah.
I hope we get there this week. Last week we concentrated more on Din and Emes, and this week we would like to accomplish two things. One is to speak about the third thing, Shalom, which we didn't speak about last week. And if we have time, which I doubt, we'll try to also connect and discuss the relationship of this Mishnah with see if we can get to the relationship between this Mishnah and the first Mishnah of the Tar, the Mishnah of the third and the final, which is always the final, any list, any time you come to an end, the end of everything ends with Shalom. The end Shemona Esrei, the last thing is Shalom. The end Birkas Kohanim, the last thing is Shalom. The Shalom is the end. When we come to the end of the process that was started in the first Mishnah of the Gemara Amudim, we're coming to a culmination in this Mishnah of the Kiyum Ha'ulam Haldina Emes Haldina Emes Ra'al HaSholay. So the final statement is Shalom. World history works that way also. Shalom in world history lasted a very short period of time. As long as there was one person, so there wasn't a war yet. He had two people, the first war. When you got to the point there was two, so then there was a war. Since then, it's been war. And there is Shalom at the end. There will come time. It's guaranteed. Yeah, possible. And it's possible that there will be a time. It's amazing. If you think what the Navi was describing in terms of his day, he's talking about it in the military equipment that he had in those days, but the Yisoid translates regardless of what they're doing. Can you imagine what type of material that they make out of all these planes and atom bombs and submarines? It's very interesting how they're going to not plow these things down, what they're going to turn them into. But the whole thing, we're guaranteed that the end of the process, the end of every process is showing. Showing is the end of the process. And this is the, I don't know if it was an absolute necessity, if Adam and Rishon would have done things differently, he might have been able to get off on a different process. But as a byproduct of the Chet of Adam and Rishon, this is something that Ramchal explains in Das Tunas, the world has to go through a system that is similar to the idea of Klal and Pratikal. You have beginning, you have a process where everything is misparic down towards the details, and there's a point where things come together again. The world, the process, we know Klal Yisrael will take. Klal Yisrael started with the Gimel Ovos. As we learned when we learned that first Mishnah, the Gimel Ovos are the Gimel Amudim of the Torah. That's where Klal Yisrael starts from. Immediately after the Ovos, you have the next stage, which is the Shvatim. And the Shvatim have two possibilities. They can come to Shlemus, in which they live in harmony, and all of the differences between them joined together in a one totality. That's the idea of Sholem. Vayisa Sholem v'mroino. This idea of Sholem, we have the 12 tribes, 12 Shvatim, are makbil to the 12 Mazolos, the 12 solar systems. The 12, in that system, the Bnei Sholem took care of it. Vayisa Sholem v'mroino. There hasn't been any fun, no wars. Star Wars, there's no Star Wars. I never saw, I don't even remember all the names in English, the different constellations. They never had a fun. Even though that they are representative, they have different koyfas, there are things that if they would take them outside of the process of Sholem, they would be mitnagid. But, Vayisa Sholem v'mroino. That Shalom that he has, and the Oyun Shalom, and the Oyun Oyun, who Yasa Shalom Oyun. That same Koychus that the Bnei Sholem established from Sheshen and Gracious, that all of these 12 different forms of Koychus, all that, I won't go into astrology, astronomy, whatever, understanding of what these Koychus are. But there is meaning to it. It's not, there is a system where there are 12 different koyches, and they have different definitions, and even opposing definitions. That process in the higher worlds, in the worlds of even as what we can see in the place of Shalom, our process that was given over to man. So Yasa Shalom Aleinu is our tefillah, but our responsibility is to be mekayim the olam they show. Sholem, therefore, is the tachlis of the tefillah. There's a Rambam. All right, we'll say about the Rambam is within close to Chanukah, so we can. The last halacha of Hilchos Chanukah in the Rambam is a very interesting halacha. A person has enough money. He first explains the tremendous significance of Ne'er Chanukah, and therefore, if a person doesn't have enough money, he's mechuyif to go knocking on doors until he has enough money to get Ne'er Chanukah. Very important. Yeah, must happen. You have to have enough oil for Ne'er Chanukah. Okay, now, what happens if you have enough after all is said and done, either for Ne'er Chanukah or Ne'er Shabbos? So the halacha is Ne'er Shabbos. Why? Because of Sholem. Go to Lashon. Ne'er Shabbos relates to the idea of Shalom Bayis. And therefore, don't have fun. We're not talking about it in having a fight. One said that he wants Ne'er Shabbos, and one said he wants Ne'er Shabbos. Now we have a man and a wife who came into business. They said, listen, our situation is very tough. We only have enough for one. And Shabbos we have 50 of them a year. And we have, every other year we had enough. This one Shabbos, we both together have decided that we will eat in the dark. We will not have our Shabbos in order that we should have the Indian golden with the Hanukkah. Give us a medal. Aren't we great? So they said, no, not only are you not great, but you're illegal. You're doing Dover Shein Halacha. The Halacha, you're not allowed to do that. Kol if they're not going to have that Ne'er Shalom, that one chapter, beautiful man, no problem. They're going to get divorced the next day. What's the pshat? So there are understandings that there are negiah to the Ne'er Shalom bias. When you see.
It says Shalom bias or is it Shalom?
It says Shalom, but it says in Kuru Shalom bias on Ne'er Shabbos. Ne'er Shabbos relates to that. The Shalom that there is.
No, but the
Rama's
referring to Shalom bias?
He's referring to the loch of Sholem that we learned by Ne'er Shabbos and Ne'er Shabbos. So the Fush Nechazal refers to Sholem. So of course we're talking about an Edelkeit of Sholem Pais that even though the Zug itself would not be aware of. It would be so, such a, they would, you know, there are other such things that we see how much the Torah is not being of Sholem. But Ram continues to explain. It's a very interesting combination. It's based on the Gemara. The Rambam says, why is this halacha? It's such, Rambam is not a Musa Sefer.
But there are times when the Rambam has to, the halacha is so strange, so in order to give the basis for halacha, he brings things that would seem to have more to do with Haggadah. So he says, the reason for the halacha is Gadol HaShalayim, and this is for two places we see it from. One is that the shame, Hagai, the Baruch Shem's name is Nimcha, Pasay Shalom Boreh, Pasay Shalom B'Nish Lishta, and Saita. Saita wasn't such a Shalom first, but that's the absolute number. But the Baruch Shem said, erase my name, if we can put the house together, on the possibility that she was Mizanah, so then it's not going to do it, it's not going to show. But the possibility that she wasn't, this is the only way they were going to get them back together. One from says, rest me. God Allah Shalom, that Tachas Kol HaTayra Kula Shalom Shinema Tachar Dachinur V'chol Mesir HaSeh Shalom. Now, those who are familiar with the experience of Rambam, there's no poetic language in Rambam. So in that Masukim, everything is very accurate and exact. The definitions over here are exact, and this is something that maybe this Mishnah and certainly it's in Yom Diyim, understand that the Tachlis, that's why this Shalom is at the end of the Mishnah over here, the Tachlis of Kiyam Olam, the final form, the Makabah Patish that makes the world worth existing for, makes the world possible to exist, is the idea of Shalom. Tachlis Kol HaTayr Kul. Sure. It seems a bit far-fetched. In other words, if we're, the Rambam is saying over here that in the hierarchy of values that we have in Torah, the highest value is Shalom. You understand that? It's a very important value, wonderful value. But like we have some, you know, we have other people's. There's others that are up for the job. Emes, it's a nice thing too, no? Din, just from our Mishnah, you have Torah, Torah, Tachas Kol HaTorah Kula. Is Shalom. We picked one out. So it's Tachlis. What's the shot? So the time factor here is a problem. I have to be makatsa. But there's a very yesuistic idea. Shalom is not a convenience. It's not a convenience. Everybody understands, anybody who's married, that having Shalom, for example, in Shalom Bayis, is very convenient. And not having Shalom is very inconvenient. That's putting it mildly. It's nice. It's a nice thing. Yeah, it's good. Shalom's a nice thing. But the Yisrael of Shalom is not just an idea of a way that human beings can survive together. There are other processes that could theoretically work also. In situations of Shlitas Adin, or Shlitas Emes, in an army situation, where everybody's given orders, nobody has any choices. If that would be true to the reason why it's not that way in army is because it's not true. But if it would be true to the full point, there would be no arguments in the army either. Everybody would be doing their thing, and it's, to whatever degree that's true, you don't have any facts in the army either. Whoever is Mr. Boss gives the orders, everybody does what they did. There's no discussion, why did he get this and I didn't get that? Why is he mourning or less? That's what the boss said, or whoever gives the orders, I'm finished. If it's just a question of finding a system for the existence of people, they should eat each other up alive, so as the mission says later, then the primary form of that is Murder the Malchus, which is an aspect of Din. The reason why people are able to function in society, macro society, mini society, the reason why people are able to function, right? This has a certain aspect in true even in a house. Right? A person has to have responsibility. A lot of people go into Shalom Bayis saying that Shalom Bayis is based on how you reach the Kigufo, you have to reach the Kigufo. So people say, right. I had every intention to love my wife, to go for him, happy reason. So why don't you? Because she did this and she didn't do that. But I understand. Why don't you? Because she did this and she did that. So something missing over here. So you assumed, the person naturally assumed that when the Torah says that you have to be Oyvish to Kibufa and Chabiyus and Kibufa, it was a description of a situation, meaning that if she's lovable, you love her. Uh-huh. And if she's something that you respect, so you give her this. So it's a result. So Rambam clarifies it in Kaskins, it's a lot. And Hilchos Yishuv, Pirkei Zayin. Kach tzivui chachomim. It is a responsibility. It starts with you. The reason why you have to love your wife is not because anything. It's because that's a responsibility. If you treat a wife with love, always you'll get a good relationship back. The woman will always return. But the husband has to extend the responsibility with the husband. That's before Shalom. That's din. As far as just setting up a household, and if we're talking about lower levels of Shalom bias, when people come in sometimes with very ridiculous arguments, you can't figure out how to manage the budget. This one thinks that you have to buy more vegetables, the other thinks you have to buy more chicken. It sounds like that's what usually happens, right? So a big wise man sits down with them and they make up orders. Right? Make up shara, this amount of tomatoes, that amount of grapefruits, and three chickens, and this is it, rules. And three chickens, and this is it, rules. Yeah. And sometimes that solves the lower levels. You get all the kinds of agreements that it's the same thing, just in more sophisticated. Sit down, it's not spilling. He must do this, he takes out the garbage four times a week, she takes it out three times a week, all this kind of ridiculous stuff. Right. Very, very low level of phone bias can be used that way. We can, for people who need a security system just to get them out, that they shouldn't eat each other up alive, right? Sometimes you can arrange a ceasefire that way. You can't establish the real relationship. Because that's deep. You're still dealing with din, you're still dealing with system, some responsibility. You have to do this, you have to do that. What's Shalom spirits? Both in a house and in the world. In the micro, each person individually, what he is in his household is the same thing what there is in the world. We're going to say it very, very short. Very, very short. And maybe we'll have to fake and find the opportunity. We'll find another mission as well. I don't know if she's going to give us the excuse to explain this at once in greater length. But I'm saying that the Yesod of Klal Yisrael. What's Klal Yisrael's battle flag? Emunah? The Baruch Shem exists? Almost everybody believes that. All the Christians believe that. All the Muslims believe that. And most thinking human beings, if you take, not today, but if you take throughout all of history, would say it's probably close to 98% or something like that. Believe that the Baruch Shem existed. The existence of Baruch Shem, you have to be a fool not to realize it. It's simple. The battle flag of Klal Yisrael was not an Baruch Shem Lekech. Klal Yisrael goes to war, Klal Yisrael, the Kohen, Shema Yisrael is the way he starts to go to war. When a person says Kiddush Hashem, Klal Yisrael goes to the furnaces, or wherever the Klal Yisrael goes, Klal Yisrael starts the day, finishes the day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Yisrael of Achdus, the Yisrael of Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This is what Klal Yisrael represents in particular. This is Klal Yisrael's Yisrael. In very, very miniature form, the description of world history is as follows. The Rabbeinu Shlomo, before he created the world, was an omnipresence that was perfect shlemus, wasn't missing anything, had no limitations, and was the ultimate of shlemus in any and all forms that can possibly be conceived or cannot be conceived. That's the Rabbeinu Shlomo before creation of the world. Obviously, the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself never changed. However, at that point, that's all that exists. The Rabbeinu Shlomo, for the purpose of bringing a niver who can earn his keep, as we've learned many times before, created a whole world system with all of its different levels, all the way down to our world, where he can create man that has the kliyah. What is this world? This world is the Olam of Pirud. This is the world where every aspect that there exists, exists separately and on the surface in conflict. Fire, water, man, woman, day, night, everything, anything that you can think of has an opposite number. All of the science is based on balances of opposite kuchas. In all systems, medical systems, plants, all the different levels, there's balances between different forces that have to be kept in a very careful balance. I unfortunately have now the opportunity to be in the hospital a lot to see the kind of measurements that go on. And this has to be in the fractions of differences that can go off and you're into trouble. And but this affects that, and this affects this, and this affects the whole systems of balances. This world is a world where each thing stands on its own and gives the impression, therefore, the worst form of this is good and bad. Evil exists. It's a real thing. It's a real fake thing, but it's a real thing. There is a real possibility of evil in other Rishon's Nisayon, in his situation, evil was theoretically possible. That the product of an Rishon thing is he made it very practical. After that, evil was a real thing that we all deal with. We all have it internally, externally, in every form. Man's job and the situation in the kodesh that the Bereshit gave man was that he can return the Kvod Shemayim to this world, meaning that he can reveal that everything in the world and all of the different koichos, all are one, all came from one, have one meaning and harmony, and are returning to one point, the Bereshit. This is Klal Yisrael's flag, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It all adds up. Well, almost I once had the opportunity, many years ago, there was a doctor of philosophy, a Jew, who was being trained in Munich University of all places. And he ended up here. I was pretty young at that point. But he cornered me at, ended up, we were together in a place where I couldn't run away. And he cornered me one day and he said he wants like to have a baby. So I said that it's unfair. Study philosophy and a little bit about Jewish philosophy. All around we were going to debate where it's time. But he pushed me. And I said, okay. I gave him the ground rules. So ground rules can't use terms. Can't hide behind any words. Can't explain, can't use it. And that, there were a few other things, but this was the basic thing. And then we went through them. He brought philosophy after philosophy. And I was amazed by the ease with somebody with the minimal level of Torah knowledge that I had then. I have now, certainly what I had then, but I was able to deal with it. And we found that there were three parts. He knew his beings. But there were three major parts to all of the different philosophies that he brought. There was a small portion of philosophy that he represented, which was total rubbish. Nothing. It was ridiculous. Forget it. But the major portion of the philosophy is that somebody made a real, proper intellectual study and came to a Nekudasa Emes. And then went around explaining the whole world based on that Nekudasa Emes. That side of the fence. All you have to do is say, no, I don't know, I will not debate that you say this way and I say the opposite one, because he has a different person who said the opposite one. All you have to do is say, then Torah says, both. This one in its proper place, and this one is in its proper place. This applies to this degree, and this applies to that degree.
put each thing in its proper place, they're both right. You take anything out of its proper place, they're both wrong. And this applied to the Roy Rubin of philosophers. The world has truths. Or I said, you better have truths that you don't want to explain everything by half, or you want to take something outside of its proper parameters. The solution of almost all arguments is that somebody is stepping over the boundaries. And almost every machlokes, and this is one of the yesodos how I make shalom, there are two major portions to each person's side. There's an akudas emes, and then there is a whole smokescreen of arguments that go around this akudas emes. And most of the arguments are totally unrelated to the akudas emes. But once a person is so strongly involved with the akudas emes, he extends it well beyond his limits. If you will not recognize his akudas emes as logically and as clearly as you knock down the smokescreen, it won't work. He'll build it up again from his akudas emes. As soon as you pull out the akudas emes, they say, you know, you're saying this and this. That's a tremendous point. You're really right. Let me explain to you. What you're saying is exactly like this, right? And the other guy says, well, he's right. Well, cool. Yeah, take it easy. It's a great point. So right. There's no way anybody can argue on that. It's obvious. And these are its limitations, right? Don't put it in its box. It goes from here to here. And all of a sudden, it's not feeling exactly so secure. And then before you go further, go back to the other side. I say, you know, you also had a tremendous point. You said this and this, you know, that's really right also. And do the same thing. Then you find a clue to MS and you separate it from the thing. And then all of a sudden it's not in your ass. Because all of the smokescreen, all of the difficulties was that because each one had their clue to MS, it didn't allow them to recognize the other clue to MS. And therefore they wanted to explain the whole situation by that aspect which they're correct. Sometimes, like we learned last time, there is a requirement of hachra between the two sides, because they do overlap, and you have to know which one has the greater influence. But most of the time, they don't overlap. And if you take each thing and put it in its proper perspective, you put it in its proper limitations, so you're right until here, you're right until here, and all of a sudden people's ears open up. You know, that's not a steer to where I'm coming from. His point I can accept. It doesn't knock away the ground that I step on. I thought it was a threat to my existence, but it doesn't. He has his room, I have my room. Okay. This is the Yisrael of Sholem. How come it always works? This is the Makor, this is what we're trying to get to. The reason why you can always make Sholem in theory, medium, real people, and real arguments, people that can be brought to Emes, be brought to proper Torah action, is because everything is of one source, and therefore everything does harm. If basically fire comes from the fire god, and water comes from the water god, there's no reason why they have to have any system of coexistence. Then the natural requirement is that they fight it out. Either they're in a different part of the world, they don't come in contact, but if they have to live in any type of relationship, then they must fight it out, because they have no source of contact. And it's so too for man and woman, so too for Moshe Pratzaseya, Inoshoz Kach Pratzaseya, Inoshoz. You can never get, especially with Jews. Two people, two Jews, three opinions. Hey. Okay. Hey. Especially Jews. To them now, you have two Jews there, you know, they say they're on a desert island. Trying to pick them up for many years. Show them around, we're all happy. I guess the shul I got, and I said, what's that other guy? I said, the shul I got that. Because each person has a different aspect of this coming from. You show you some shalom, the shade, the history, the long history, short history. So. Every person is Gange, Inkasa, Sayyam, Shalas, Kacham, Moisay, Shalas. So naturally, it should be required to fight. It has to be. The reason, and the only reason that is not so, is that there is one and only one common denominator to everything that exists in the world. That comes out of the wisdom of action. This is true in marriage. But the Gemara says, Ish li isha, zocha, shchina li nev, lo zocha, isha v'nos. Rashi explains that the shame call, the yud is in the ish, there's yud there. Ish with a yud. Hey is in the ish. Ish with a hey. There's only two possibilities. If you don't want the relation, you want to leave him out of this, right? So it's H H. Right? There's no way. Nothing can be done. The Rabbani Shalom is the unifying force. Where they come from, where they're leaving according to, and where they're going to, that brings them into one entity. The fact that Hashem Echad, the fact that all comes from one source, all exists now, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, that everything comes from one source. And now, even though it doesn't so easily appear so, it is all being Nohub, that the Manhig is all one Manhig for everything that's going on. And it's all going to, this is the source of Hashem. The Tachlis of Kol HaTorah Kulo, all of the mitzvahs, is the Gilui Kloy Le Yisbarach Ba'olam, Eis HaShalim B'Loim Avoy Yas HaShalim B'Loim. How? So we say, that's famous in Medrash, that when the Shem Oyis Lama Yitain Shem Yivorach HaSalim B'Loim, when Christ all got together, the Latin Torah, so the world went through a very dramatic experience, all the waves stopped there, the wind stopped, there was total silence, then there was the loud Kol Rash Kol, Kavash Rekul Kol, everything that was, the whole world heard that. So the Major says that all that everybody got together and went to Bilam, what's going on, said that Mabel. So no, Hashem, Mabel, Yeshiv, Hashem, no more Mabel. So then what is going on? Hashem, Uyiz, La'amah Yitem, the Hashem is giving Torah to Christ, Hashem, Yivorach, Hasamim, Hashem. The Rebbeinu through Torah is b'mechad of the Oyes HaShalom HaRoim of the Yas HaShalom HaRoim. Through Torah, the Torah gives us the clay, the capability of harmonizing all of the koyfas that exist in the world. Eternally, first of all, and then in the next day. We are made up of a living sphere of the greatest magnitude. We have a neshama and we have a kof. If you take that without shalom, a person is, what do they call it, schizophrenic. Okay. We are all schizophrenic. Loi zochu, there's no yud here, there's no hey there, it's HH. Here we see, and this is true in every aspect, that shechina b'neiam is not something outside, something of spiritual existence that doesn't relate to my essence. It goes into the very definition of ish. If you don't have that, you're there, you are not an ish, you're an ish. That's especially to be seen in the household. It'll be true to the neighbor also. It'll be true to society. It'll be true to your children. It'll be true to your boss, to the workers, to whoever you relate to. There are two forms of human existence. Either ish or ish. This is ish shalom in the rainbow, or yas shalom in the rainbow. A person can live under pirud, or a person could live under shalom, achdus, that everything comes together. The final, the last of everything, the last chotem on all processes is shalom. Shalom is where all of the different threads come together again and come to harmony. True, in this world, it's not always so easy to see. There is a processing where each thing stands on its own. All 12 Shvatim have their own land. And they're not allowed to live together. Each one has to live separately. It's Ruvi in here, Shem in there. Because Shalom doesn't mean just mishmash. There's nothing part of Shalom. Shalom means each thing gets recognition and real value for its real place. And then fits together with all the other real values and all the real place to one total unit of harmony made up of all of the parts. If a person would make a chant out of his heart and mind, get together and say, listen, you've been pumping blood for so long. Yeah. And you mind, you lazy fellow, you haven't pumped any blood in a long time. It's rich. Yeah. But like
some type of operation, and the brain will do half the pumping of the blood. So I can work that. The brain has to stay in head. No pumping blood. Do a lot of thinking. No pumping, no blood. Heart, keep pumping the blood. It's not true. I mean, the leg has an aspect. I don't mean that. But I was talking about that. Each thing has its function within a unit. The fact that they're different is not a steal to show. Giving the proper and real recognition for each thing in its proper place and to the form, how it relates, it joins together with everything together. So that we don't have to look at a person like nowadays medical doctors. He's a heart. No, he's a nose. I was once on a plane, an airline plane coming through it, so, and a fellow passed out. It happened to be that there was a doctor's convention that was on their way here. So the steward got on the phone, is there a doctor on the house? 47 people got up. And I was standing, I was in the seat right behind the person. It was amazing that nobody had their equipment. But immediately, everybody diagnosed it according to their specialty. Immediately. Heart doctor. This is probably kind of a thing. Okay, whatever. A person is a totality. True, you can break them up into multiple pieces. Listen, when you have all of the pieces in one unit, and you have the harmony between them, the relationship between them, that's what you're trying to make happen. It's all in Bhagavad Gita. We hope that they were given vicious that possessive. They've lost the Chokhmah full of the person, the Brahman had, rather the real happiness, that understood the whole totality. Maybe some of the Eastern medicine has some, I don't know. But the totality of the unit, where each thing is part of the totality, for example, what's important? The individuality or being part of the flock? So the answer to these questions are always both or neither, depending on how you want it. Mm-hmm. Then, to be part of the cloud as just another self in the body of a bunch of other cells. Be that individual exact cell that you are. Only then can you play your role of a cloud. A cloud that's made up just of masses of numbers, is that class. Thaya cell is each individual's quantity. There's masses of numbers. Ruben, Shimi, maybe each one of Klai Yisrael had to come. Mishpachos and Beis Avos. Couldn't just put a petik in the voting box. They had to come with their name and their father's name. Very exactly. Each person has an exact place. Shvatim, that's not sufficient. You had Shvatim, then you had Shvatim, then you had Beis Avos, and then you had Ruvain, then Beis Avos. You had each person with an individual definition. Only then do you have a real totality of a unit. Now, which one is it? The cloud of Avos question. Each one in this aspect. This is the Yisrael of Shalom, which is Tachos HaKotai Kula. It's not a Zoma. But the Rambam says it's exact. The tachlis, the end product, the final battle flag that all the world is coming to show. The Banishan look quite an obvious tonight. That we are here to be. The Banishan sleeping for it. That's our role. We cry so the Torah that Hashem knows how we eat. Hashem will have the sign of the Shalom. The Banishan gave us the Torah. The capability of bringing Shalom to the world. So this has to live at home.
On its first aspect, seems to be the MS, the lights goes to. But the tachlis hatay, the end product, where is it all heading to? The whole nesivah isar, after you have when a person asks directions, so you say it's basically in that direction, and when you get closer, you have to give exact directions of getting to the detailed place you want to go. The The nesivah is, if you want to know exactly what's the point, the final end product of the kol teruah, All the Nesivas had one end of Kol Nesivas. Sholem, this koyach of harmonizing all that exists, from the Ruchnius to the Gashmius, from the, all of the different aspects of the world, to the different Shvotim, to the Kriyas, everything that is different in the world, all of conceptually different things, Prat, Klal, all of the isms of existence in the world, everything that exists in the world, when it was taken, put into proper perfect. Every philosophy that he presented, do you agree with this? He said, yeah. You mean hold like the next? No. He just told me agree. I said, generally I agree. The way you say it, no. Put it over here, yes. Put it over here, no. It's proper place, yes. Proper place. He says, you're a broken record. That's what you say every time. He says, call me, see the Sasha. All the Nesivs are the same. They have all one record. Shemo Yizam, Yitain, Shem Yor, Samuel, Sholim. That Koyak is the Gilui of the source of the Torah. Shema Yisrael, Shem Yishem Echad. The Koyak HaAchdus, which is the Makor Sholim. How is there Sholim? The fact that everything can be harmonized, the fact that it is all one unit, can only be because that, in fact, is what it is. It all came from one source, and it all goes back together, and the one tremendous puzzle, tremendous master plan, which we're still in the middle of, we can't see the whole thing. Everything come all the inside of Hengel, there's no person who can make such a master for life or for history, mixing friends. So we'll see the whole picture, and then we'll be able to stand back. We have our role.
Mishpat, which is based on Mishpat. In MS, a person has to know how to deal with that too. First, it has to be Mishpat, if that's what's required, if you're dealing with Mishpat. But MS requires that this, everything that is MS, that is really part of the formula, is brought in and drawn together. MS goes beyond that. Din on itself is Churban. Din, only Din, will be Churban. The world started that way. The world started fishing. The world started that way. Because, of course, Baruch Hu Livroi HaSa'olam is a Din. Because the truth of the Tachlis is to have everything in its perfect place. Exactly how people. However, the emes of the world is that only the Bnei Shem can do that. Since he wanted that this world should be based on man's actions. The emes of man is that he can't be Eimit B'midas HaDin Kuvar. The emes of man is that he can only be Eimit in Din B'shita Yisrach. So therefore, the emes of the world is Rach. Din plus Chesed. Without it, it's Chorban. Every has din, pure din, on its own. Right? That's the only omer that exists. Like it says in the Churban of Yerushalayim. Leinecha vo Yerushalayim at she'omdu divrayim al din. Yot shalo yivit chmisu l'tzni mishuus. Everyone accepts what's coming. Once everybody accepts what's coming to me, I'm right, you're wrong, and to the end. That is the din itself goes beyond emes. Emes is beyond din. The two together is shalom. So right now, just because it's very late, we're going to leave it like this. When you have din, and when you have emes, each one individually doing their portion, then it's possible to produce the tachlis in the soul. Of all Seifer, the end of Shemana Esrei, the end of the Kohanim, the end of all ends. Torah always ends for Sholem. Tachlis Kol Torah Kulo with Sholem. We'll have to discuss it next week. Vala Sholem, the Vinyan says, Sholem hu koilil kol kodesh v'olam, bein tachlis l'torah v'osai, the Sholem ha'tzah. The end of all ends. Wherever you're going to come to like any end, the end, Sholem ha'tzah. Sholem is the end. The Tachlis HaKol, the place of the Seifer, the Kol Seifer. The world starts with Din, continues with Emes, finishes with Sholem. We are finished tonight, just with this. We have to go back and start with this, discuss it, and prepare to do the Mishnah. Here we have the starting of the concepts of understanding individual the value and necessity of the rule, but these really alluding to the items kaimon, him, and so on and so on. Last week we concentrated more on din and emes, and this week we would like to accomplish two things. One is to speak about the third thing, shalom, which we didn't speak about last week, and if we have time, which I doubt, we'll try to also connect and discuss the relationship of this Mishnah. See if we can get to the relationship between this Mishnah and the first Mishnah of the Paras, the Mishnah of Al-Gimbalayim, Imid, Torah, Vidya, and Kotori. The third and the final, which is always the final, any live, any time you come to an end, the end of everything ends with Shalom. The end from an essay, last thing is Shalom. The end of the Quran, last thing is Shalom. The Shalom is the end. When we come to the end of the process that was started in the first Mishnah of the Yom HaMudit, and coming to a culmination of this Mishnah of the Kiyam HaOilam HaDina Emes HaHadina Emes HaAl HaSholay, so the final statement is Shalom. World history works that way also. Shalom in world history lasted a very short period of time. As long as there was one person, so there was no war yet. We had two people in the first war. And when we got to the point there was two, then there was war. Since then there's been war. And there is Shalom at the end. There will come time. It's guaranteed. That's possible. And it's possible that there will be a time. It's amazing. You think what the Navi was describing in terms of his day, something possible in there. The military equipment that he had in those days, but the Yisrael translates regardless of what they are. Can you imagine the type of material that they make out of all these planes and atom bombs? But the whole thing, we're guaranteed that the end of the process, the end of every process is Shalom. Shalom is the end of the process. And this is the, I don't know if it was an absolute necessity, if one of the Rishonim was done things differently, he might have been able to get off on a different process. But as a byproduct of the Chet of the Rishonim, something on house plans and back to the world has to go through a system that is similar to the idea of cloud practical. It has beginning. You have a process where everything is misfired down to the details, and there's a point where things come together again, collapse. The world, the process, as we know, Kriyasol takes. Kriyasol started with the Gimel Olos. As we learned when we learned that first Mishnah, the Gimel Olos are the Gimel Amudim, the that's where Kriyasol starts from. Immediately after the Olos, you have the next stage, which is the Shvatim. And the Shvatim have two possibilities. They can come to Shlemus, in which they live in harmony, and all of the differences between them are joined together in a one totality. That's the idea of Shalom. So you say Shalom and Merino. This idea of Shalom, we have the 12 tribes, 12 Shvatim, are not built to the 12 Mazolos. All poses. That's all in that system, the Mayan Shalom took care of it. Oysa Shalom, the Mayan. There hasn't been any thought, no one followed to this thought. I never saw, I don't even remember the names the different constellations. They never had a thought. Even though that they are representative, they have different places, there are things that if we would take them outside of the process of Shalom, they would be mitnagid, but it's a Shalom.
That shalom that he had, and the oil of shalom, and the oil of shalom, that same purpose that is mentioned, established from Shishin and Bereshit, that all of these 12 different forms of purpose, all that, well, I'm going to astrology, astronomy, whatever, understanding of what these purpose are. But there is meaning to it, there is a system where there are 12 different purposes, and they have different definitions, even opposing definitions. That process in the higher world, in the world of the, even as we, what we can see, in places showing the our process, that was given over to me. So you have to show Malayu that too. But our responsibility is to be mekayim la'olam ha'yidei sholem. Sholem, therefore, is the tachlis of the Bria. So the Rambam, the Rambam is looking close to Chanukah. The last halacha of Hilchos Chanukah in the Rambam is a very interesting halacha. A person has enough money. He first explains the tremendous significance of the Hanukkah. And therefore, if a person doesn't have enough money, he's mechuyav to go knocking on doors until he has enough money to get that off. Very important. What's that? You have to have enough oil. Okay. Now, what happens if you have enough after all of a sudden done, either from the Hanukkah or the Shabbos? So the halacha is the Shabbos. Why? So, what do you want to say? Ner Shabbos is the great idea of Shalom Bayis. And therefore, so Ner Shabbos. We're not talking about it due to having a fight. One said that he wants Ner Shabbos, so one said he wants Ner Shabbos. Now we have a man and a wife who came into this and said, listen, our situation is very tough. We only have enough for one. And Shabbos we have 50 of them a year. And we have every other year we had enough. This one Shabbos, we both together have decided that we will keep in the dark. We will not have our Shabbos. And in order that we should have the Indian Golden Rose in Hanukkah, give us a medal. That was great. They said, no, not only are you not great, but you're illegal. You're doing over in the Halacha. The Halacha, now I'll do that. God bless all. If they're not going to have that man shalom, that one chapter, beautiful man, okay. They're going to get divorced next day. What's the shot? So there are understandings of the Nikia to the man shalom bias. We see. It's a shalom, but it doesn't fool a shalom bias. It's a shalom, like the shalom that there is.
No, the Rambam
is a shalom bias. Referring to the law of Shalom that we learned by Yer Shabbos and Yer Shabbos, the foolishness of Zahar is the Shalom. So, of course, we're talking about an Edel type of Shalom, right? That even though the Zug itself would not be aware of, it would be so, such a, they would, there are other such things that we see how much the Torah is not being of Shalom. But Ram continues to explain, it's a very interesting combination, based on what we learn. And Ram says, why is this Allah? Rambam's not a Muslim system. But there are times when the Rambam has to, the halacha is so strange, and so in order to give the basis for the halacha, he brings things that would seem to have more to do with Haggadah. So it says the reason for the halacha is Bavim HaShalim, and this is the two places we see it from. One is that the shame, Hadayim, the Bereshon's name is Mitzvah, not the Shalom Bereshon. Not the Shalom Bereshon, and Freita. Freita wasn't such a Shalom Bereshon. But the Rishon says, erase my name. We can put the house together. On the possibility that she wasn't Zionist, then it's not going to do it. It's not going to show. But on the possibility that she wasn't, this is the only way. They were going to get them back together. Rishon says, erase my name. Another one showing that Tachas Kol HaTayyar Kula Shol Shinema Those are familiar with the things of Rambam. There's no quarter going to Rambam. So in that mistake, everything is very accurate and exact. The definition is always around past, and it's something that maybe this Mishnah is certainly is going to be in, to understand that the tachlis, that's why this shown at the end of the Mishnah, the tachlis of Kiyam Olam, the final form, the mark of the patish that makes the world worth existing, makes the world possible to exist, is the idea of Shul. Tachlis kolotai kud, the Shul. It seems a big concept. In other words, if we're at the mountain saying over here, that in the hierarchy of values that we have in Torah, the highest value is Shul. It's a very important value, wonderful value. But if we have some, there's other people, there's others that are up for the job. And I'm not saying too, just from our mission, Tachas Kol Teri Kula is Shul. You pick one out. Tachas Kol Teri Kula. The time factor here is a problem that has to be addressed. But there's a very yisuristic idea. Shul is not a convenience. It's not a convenience. Everybody understands, anybody who's married, that having Shul, for example, in Shul and Bayis, is very convenient. And not having shown is very convenient. That's putting it mildly. It's nice. Nice thing. It's something nice thing. But the state of showing is not just an idea of a way that human beings can survive together. There are other processes that could theoretically work also. In situations of shlichus adin or shlichus ha'emes, in an army situation, where everybody is given orders, nobody has any choice. If that would be true, the reason why it's not that way now is because it's not true. But if it would be true to the whole point, there would be no argument in the army. Everybody would be doing that thing, and to whatever degree that's true, don't have any practicing out of either. Whoever is Mr. Boss's order, whoever does what they did, there's no discussion why did he get this and how did he get that. Why is he more and him less? That's what the boss said, or whoever gives the orders, and finish. If it's just a question of finding a system for the existence of people, they should each other up alive, so as the mission says later, then the primary form of that is murder the mouth, which is a aspect of this. The reason why people are able to function in society, macro society, mean society, the reason why people are able to function, right? This has an aspect into even on the in a house. Right? A person has to have responsibility. A lot of people go into Shalom Bayit saying that Shalom Bayit is based on every wish that you do a certain. So people say, right, I have every intention about my wife to do for an obligation. So I don't do it. Because she did this and she didn't do that. But I don't say that. Why don't you? Because she did this and she did that. There's something missing over there. You assume, because the person can naturally assume that when the Torah says you have to do this, that you do for an obligation, I do for it. It was a description of the situation, meaning that if she's lovable, you love her. Okay? And if she's something that you respect, so you give her this. So the result. So Rambam clarifies it in the past. It's a lot. In the interpretation, at the time. Kach tzivu chachomim. This is responsibility. It starts with you. The reason why you have to love your wife is not because anything. It's because of the responsibility. If you treat a wife with love, always you'll get a good relationship back. The woman will always return. But the husband has to experience the responsibility of the husband. That's before Shalom. That's it. It's not just setting up a household. And if we're talking about lower levels of Shalom bias, and people come in sometimes with a very ridiculous argument can't figure out how to manage their budget. This one thinks that you have to buy more vegetables, this one thinks you have to buy more chicken. Sounds like that's what usually happens, right? So big wise man sits down with them and they make up orders. Make up shorter, this amount of tomatoes, that amount of grapefruits, and three chickens, and this rule. Yeah. And sometimes that falls to lower levels. You get to all the kinds of agreements that it's the same thing just now.